Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure. It's a dream come true for me to be able to spend some time with you, and especially to introduce you and reintroduce you to our outstanding Brain Trust members. And one that I'm going to reintroduce to you that I've done many times before over the years, over the long time that she's been a member of our Brain Trust and has become one of our good friends, Dr. Sheree Carter-Scott, the author of so many books, I couldn't carry them all into the studio. Her new book is called Transformational Life Coaching. Dr. Sheree Carter-Scott is with us right now. Sheree, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's always a pleasure. This book, by the way, folks, also has a free virtual training demo, right?
That's correct.
How's that work?
Well, they go online to the website, and they put in the code, and then they have a certain amount of time to be able to be exposed to the different programs that I've recorded.
All right.
130 programs.
Wow, how about that? So check that out. Sheree, one of the things that now you've been a global traveler for a long time.
And for the
10 or so years that I've known you, I've seen you travel the world, but I've also noticed that in the last, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years, you've really ramped up the business, the sustained business that you do around the world. Would that be a safe assessment of a fair assessment of what you've done recently?
Well, if Life is a Game, These Are the Rules came out, it was really embraced not only by the American market, but it was sold in 40 countries worldwide. And so that really increased my exposure and also the demand for me. So then I started going on many international book tours to a variety of countries that I was invited to tour.
But you've grown your business, your coaching business. And you've licensed your work in a lot of places. And folks, I'm bringing all this up. You probably will remember that we've talked about this a little bit with Sheree before. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because the last time you were here, the topic of ethics came up, and we only got to touch on it just briefly. And I encourage you to come back this time, and let's talk about this concept of ethics. And how it differs from one country to another, from one region of the world to another, and why that is important. A couple of things that I'll get on the table are some definitions. Our friend Lynn Morella says that ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. What do you think about that?
I think it's entertaining.
do you think it's accurate?
Well, I think it's pretty accurate also.
I also like what Albert Camus said, the French Nobel laureate, said, integrity has no need for rules. I like that, don't you?
Very nice. Poetic.
Yeah. Yeah. Integrity has no need for rules, which is connected to ethics. There's the West, when I talk about the West, I mean the United States and Europe primarily. Our ethical behavior is very similar, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is similar. It's similar to each other. It's not exactly the same, and there's also a difference here between, say, customs, mores, ethics. They're kind of as a bleed factor on the boundaries, but ethics, I define it in my high school book as doing the right thing. Now, doing the right thing is open to interpretation, as you very well know.
Right. And therein lies the variations that we see in other places. In the West, when we think of ethics, we think of if we tell people we're going to do something, we plan to do that. Now, everybody isn't ethical. There are people who people all over the place who will violate their own country's ethics or their own region's ethics. But typically, ethical behavior is not contractual behavior necessarily, right?
Not necessarily.
Yeah. Because if I'm... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if I'm ethical, if I'm dealing in good faith, and I think that's another good term to use, dealing in good faith. If I'm dealing in good faith with you, Cherie, and you and I agree to have something put in a contract, and it's a big deal to you, and we agree on that, and then somehow it doesn't get put in the contract accidentally, and we both signed the contract, and you come back later and remind me that it got left out. If I'm dealing in good faith, I say, well, instead of saying you should have read the contract, I say, let's get it back in there because that's what we agreed to.
Uh-huh.
Now, to me, that's dealing in good faith. That's ethical behavior. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on that right back after these messages. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Cherie Carter-Scott is our guest. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check those out and check them out and use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, use our stuff, and when you get there, you'll find our good friend Cherie Carter-Scott, Dr. Cherie Carter-Scott, the author of many books, including one of my favorites, If Life is a Game, These are the Rules. She was the original author of those rules, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the original. And her new book is called Transformational Life Coaching. Cherie, give us the website, please.
www.drcherie.com.
DrCherie.com. Check it out. They can find all the stuff that you do, the books, and all the other stuff right there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Under
so check it out. Okay, we're talking about ethics, and I was just giving my definition of dealing in good faith as we went to the break, and what do you think about what I said? Do you remember I was talking about, you know, if you and I agree something would be in a contract, it accidentally gets left out, and after we both sign it, you bring it to my attention, and I say, well, we agreed to that. It should have been in the contract. Let's get it back in there.
Well, yeah, I'm in the middle of some of those negotiations right now with Westerners. So, yes, it's true. And
are they saying? Are they saying, let's put it in, or are they saying you should have read the contract?
Oh, we're in the middle of going over the contract, several of them. And it's really an interesting thing. But, Jim, I think we have to get back to definitions, as you mentioned before, because every time we're fuzzy about something and don't know what it is, we should really go back to the source. And the dictionary is supposed to give us what we agree upon as the definition of terms. Now, ethics is the study of moral principles. Mm-hmm. Integrity is the state of being complete, whole, undamaged, possessing high moral principles. There's moral again. Mm-hmm. And when you look up the word moral, it says it's relating to issues of right and wrong and how people, individuals, should behave. Now, therein lies the rub, because when it says right and wrong, that is something that's interpreted differently depending upon the culture.
Right and wrong is considered black and white, and what I've said many times before, that the color of ethics is gray.
Totally. Exactly. Precisely. And what's interesting, I mean, I have been around the world, and some of my travels have taken me to places where the interpretation of right and wrong is completely different. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. In Africa, I think I mentioned this before to you, but I think it's really telling. There are two countries that are next door to each other. There's Zambia and Zimbabwe.
Right.
Now, Zimbabwe I have been to, I have spoken, I have signed books, etc. And before Mugabe, they were very friendly, and they were very, enthusiastic to Westerners. You know, we had safety there. Zambia, their belief, their moral, is that if you like something, you see it, you take it. And so they would cross the river, the Zambezi River, over to Zimbabwe. They would see a cow, they would like it, they'd put it on a boat and take it back across the river. They'd see a woman they liked, they'd put her on a boat, take her across the river. Mm. They would see something, they would like it, they would take it. Now, in Zimbabwe, they have the moral or the belief, you see something, you like it, you work for it, you earn money, and you buy it. which is different from you take it. They live right next door to each other.
Right.
They're only separated by this river. But it causes a lot of havoc with their different morals, their different beliefs. I wrote a book, I wrote three, If Life is a Game, If Love is a Game, and If Success is a Game, all which were translated into Farsi. And I got a letter from a woman in Iran who said, we love your books here. I was delighted, but I didn't know they were there. And she said, yes, I have translated them all into Farsi, and I hope you understand that our belief is if we're doing something for the greater good, then it's acceptable.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Okay, how does one deal with this when our intellectual property rights say that if you have written something, then it is yours, so to speak, and there...
So she basically had stolen your property.
Well, according to the American ethics, but not according to the Iranian ethics.
Right, right. Well, now, see, you're right. Now, you bring up the Middle East. Now, I've got many friends in the Middle East, and I've done business in the Middle East, have traveled fairly widely there, and their attitude is if you allow them to get away with it, it's okay. I mean, in other words, if they do something and you don't, you know, you don't do anything about it, you know, it's okay. And they'll actually do things that they know you consider to be, you know, not correct, but they don't, if they think it's okay, then they really don't think they've done anything wrong.
Well, exactly. If it's for the greater good.
Yeah.
And ours is for the individual. We're focusing on the individual rights. They're looking on the greater good. Now, the key thing
Hold on 1 second. I just want to make one point here, Cherie. Folks, understand this. These people that have just violated Cherie, or me maybe, these are not bad people. These are not mean, hateful, thieving people. They just have a different moral, don't they, Cherie? That's what you were talking about. And
exactly.
So when you do business with them, you have to understand that they're not motivated the same way you're motivated with regard to ethics. Go ahead, Cherie.
Well, it's really true. I mean, and the key thing here is enforce it. You know, it's like, okay, if I say, well, I don't like that. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think we need to change that. And I'm going to do what in Iran? I mean,
Nothing. Nothing.
I'm going to go over there and beat her up? I don't think
you
so.
I think
I'm
you could
go
take
her and negotiate.
Hey, Cherie, I've seen you in action. I think you could take her.
Well,
hold on to that thought.
Jim.
I know. I can get you close, but I can't get you in. Stand by. We'll take a quick break. I think you're going to have to change the color of your hair. It's too blonde. You stand out. Quick break. Right back with Dr. Cherie Carter Scott. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Chicago to take us out. Little Steely Dan bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Dr. Cherie Carter Scott, longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of my favorite people on the planet. Her new book is called Transformational Life Coaching. Her website is Dr. Cherie. That's drcherie.com. Check that out. Use her stuff to your advantage. It's a lot of good stuff, and all of her books and all the things that she does there are there, and so I encourage you to use that. It's, you know that I don't recommend anybody that if I don't think that they're worthy of your time and maybe even your money. Cherie, one of the things we're talking about ethics and global ethics, actually. Cherie, one of the things that that kind of got me off the first tip off of people in the Middle East is I would say I'll meet you, you know, this morning, I would say I'll meet you at 2. And I'd get to where we were going to meet at 2, and they wouldn't be there. And the next day, you know, I'd run into them. Hey, where were you? Oh, well, I just, you know, I thought you met next week at 2. I mean, there's this real loose interpretation of scheduling. If you tell someone from the Middle East you're going to meet them in London in November, make sure that you can pin down the fact that it's November 2008, not 2009.
Yeah,
I mean,
very specific.
Yeah, you have to be very specific and tell them. Now, look, I expect you to be there. If you're not, you have to let me know. But here's the point. Here's what's so kind of interesting about them. If they don't make the appointment, they don't think that they've done anything wrong.
Well, it's interesting.
It's not. It doesn't bother them, and they don't understand if you're not mad. If you're mad at them.
Oh, that's great.
And it's almost a, kind of a, an innocence, you know, in a way. But another area that I know you've become more and more familiar with is the Pacific Rim. How are ethics different in the Pacific Rim? China. I know China doesn't have a problem ripping off our stuff, do they?
Well, it's to them, it's not ripping it off.
Yeah.
It's something that is, you know, it's shared. It's kind of like public domain. And China interprets anything that's in existence as public domain. They really don't look at it as owned by you or that you have the copyright or the trademark. I mean,
right.
They don't really look at that as something that is relevant, meaningful, or important.
Because they've never, up until recently, they've never really been able to structure knowledge and information as an asset, have they?
No. So intellectual property is public domain to them. That's how they perceive it. So it's very interesting. I mean, I do have my books in Chinese, and both complex characters and simple characters. And I've dealt with, you know, publishers over there for many years now. And it's so interesting.
Are they paying you?
Yeah, they actually do. But that's more of the, you know, the agents making certain that things are done properly who represent their Western clients.
And because they know that they wouldn't have any business if they didn't, but if left to their own devices, would you get your money?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. It's not a high
priority. And the people who didn't pay you wouldn't actually think that they were, I mean, it would upset them probably if they thought they were doing something wrong, but they don't think they are.
No, it's not a conscience matter. In other words, they wouldn't feel guilt or that they wouldn't feel like they had anything... what's the word I'm looking for, Jim?
Well, I think it's important to point out that there are things that they do feel bad about. They do feel guilty about. There are things that they have feelings. They have their own. You mentioned a minute ago. They have their own morals that they don't want you violating. It's just that theirs and ours are not the same.
I'll give you another example. This is not a moral issue, but it's a cultural difference. And when I was there, my daughter had studied in China, and she was my cultural attaché, and she spoke Chinese. So we were going on these business meetings, and they're called Guanxi meetings, and there were fairly large groups of people, and you were eating very nice restaurants. And when you have something in your mouth, like a bone, a chicken bone, you're not supposed to put your hand in your mouth to remove the chicken bone. That's considered extremely rude.
Uh-huh.
And so I said to Jennifer, I've got a bone in my mouth. She said, well... you're supposed to spit it out. Now, spitting in our culture is not considered polite.
Right.
But in China, putting your hand in your mouth...
I'm sorry I missed that, Cherie.
Well, it's really funny because you start realizing, you know, what's true for us...
I would pay to see you spit a chicken bone out, Cherie. But we got to wrap it up. Quickly, the point I think we need to make here is, folks... make sure you understand these differences and operate accordingly, like Cherie did. You know, you have to take steps to make sure that you're going to get paid and that your stuff's not going to get stolen, right?
Yeah, and make sure you know before you go and that you're sensitive to those kinds of things and that you're not judgmental.
Yep, and don't be the ugly American because there are things you can do over there that could defend them.
Yeah.
You just got to know what they are. Hey, Cherie, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
See you next time. Dr. Cherie Carter-Scott, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I will be too. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, signing off for today, but reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.